We have 0 minutes. It is 3 o'clock and we are back in session.
Welcome back, everyone, for the last portion of this virtual tour. The final stop on this journey is going to be provided by Jeff Burns. And I think we've got a quick zoom in of the two areas that Jeff will be talking about. We're leaving Port Blakely and headed to Greater La Pine. Jeff? Jeff, are you ready?
I am, yes. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about the Greater La Pine Basin Project and then move over and discuss a Grant County right-of-way project as well. And prior to those projects, I'm going to describe a little bit about our programs before we get into that. So, okay, I'm going to share screen and share. Okay, if I can get some confirmation that you see my PowerPoint.
Yes, we see it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, good afternoon. Again, it's nice to see you. I introduced myself in the morning, but just to reiterate, my name is Jeff Burns. I'm the Partnership and Planning Program Director, and I'm going to discuss with you shared stewardship today in a little bit more detail than I was able to this morning. As you can see, obviously, from our previous presentations, ODF has a longstanding way of doing business. Excuse me. For some reason, oh, standby. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. ODF has a longstanding way of doing business. We call it the Oregon way of collaboration, built on solid relationships and functioning across programs. One of our most enduring partnerships has always been the U.S. Forest Service due to our common mission and principles. We have for years worked closely together with the Forest Service and a myriad of partners, yet limited funding and time and gaps in communication have all too often resulted in disparate efforts scattered across the landscape. Encouragingly, we are now turning those isolated efforts into focused investments with all our constituents at the planning table. We are cementing these relationships in a more formalized and meaningful way called shared stewardship. In years past, we have utilized millions of dollars of federal funding through the Forest Service state and private forestry grant program. Each year, ODF receives roughly $8 to $12 million to fund grant projects across the state, such as Western States Fire Managers, Sudden Oak Death Treatment, Community Assistance, Forest Stewardship Program, and Western Bark Beetle, just to name a few. I'd like to highlight a couple of these programs to give you a better understanding of these efforts. This 2016 Western States Fire Managers Grant was awarded to four communities to mitigate fuels in the wildland-urban interface. When we are finished with this five-year agreement, we will have spent over $1 million treating more than 1,000 acres and providing expertise to well over 150 landowners. This program is just one piece of the puzzle. More than just treating private landowner acreage, these grants provide firefighter training and experience. To quote Chief Jason Crow from the West Valley Fire District, "These federal grant dollars allow us to better protect ourselves while we protect the citizens of Polk and Yamhill counties. Again, thank you from all of our citizens for helping us to be prepared." Another piece of the puzzle is our sudden oak death treatments in Southwest Oregon. This 2013 project was granted over $2.5 million to provide aerial surveys covering over 1 million acres and sod eradication treatments on over 1,600 acres. So I'd like to discuss a separate but important tool to round out the shared stewardship picture, as we are not quite there yet. The Federal Forest Restoration Program is rooted in Federal Forest Advisory Committee formed by the Board of Forestry in 2009. The program was initiated by the legislature in 2013, and the Good Neighbor Authority was authorized in the 2014 Farm Bill. The Good Neighbor Authority is undoubtedly the most important tool in the FFR toolbox. It allows the state to act on behalf of the Forest Service to provide authorized forest, rangeland, and watershed restoration services on Forest Service property. It provides for not only restoration treatments, but timber sales as well that generate program income. But it does not fund projects on private land. The Good Neighbor Authority also supports planning efforts such as federal inventory analysis for data collection and contracting environmental services to provide NEPA review prior to project implementation. Our Good Neighbor Authority projects are built with collaborative support in which ODF may provide technical assistance grants, city and county planning assistance, NGO engagement and support to our sister agencies. Therefore, we add another piece to the puzzle. The Good Neighbor Authority has renewed and strengthened our state and federal relationship across Oregon and allowed multiple partnerships to be formed to influence landscape scale priorities. In August 2019, Governor Brown formalized the Oregon Way of collaboration between the state and federal Forest Service by signing the stewardship agreement. It calls for ODF to continue to work across boundaries, engage with multiple partners, and it strives to implement meaningful land management activities to create fire-adapted communities and restore and maintain resilient landscapes. Another piece of the puzzle. And finally, putting that puzzle together, the shared stewardship cross-boundary work leads us to open, transparent, and inclusive processes, frequent communication to sustain durable relationships among agency partners and participants, support of Oregon's collaborative approach for developing local solutions, adaptive management with room to experiment and learn, and focuses on outcomes with metrics in addition to outputs. For instance, rather than just acres treated, communities protected, or watersheds protected. So drilling in to an actual project that I'd like to describe and discuss a little bit more, I'd like to highlight this shared stewardship project. We have a longstanding model that includes multiple partnerships that works across boundaries on a landscape scale. One example is our Greater Lapine Joint Chiefs Project, utilizing federal funds, both Forest Service and NRCS, with additional state and private match. This partnership enables us to improve community resilience to wildfire and restore and maintain resilient forests in the wildland-urban interface. I would like to highlight the broad spectrum of partners that represent this collaborative effort, such as Deschutes County, ODF, OSU Extension, the Upper Deschutes River Coalition, and our FireWise communities that encourage participation from small woodland owners, the Forest Service, and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, just to name a few. The Greater Lapine Project was first awarded federal funding in 2016, with just over $1 million focused on the wildland urban interface, completing a little over 1,500 acres of fuel mitigation treatment. In 2017, $336,000 was awarded to complete 231 acres of treatment. In 2018, $750,000 was awarded to complete 633 acres. Unfortunately, in 2019, no additional funding was available. In 2020, $300,000 was awarded to complete 300 acres. All of the funding that I'm describing here was federal funds. And most recently, the E Board allocated an additional general fund of $528,000 to treat 1,400 acres. With consistent state funding that leverages federal funds and allows match through collaborative partnerships, we can accelerate this shared stewardship approach. Another example of shared stewardship is the Grant County right-of-way that was planned with multiple partnerships such as Grant County, Forest Service, private landowners, and the Oregon Department of Forestry, and continues past state and private forestry grant-funded work like I've described earlier. The Grant County project decreases vegetation along the road edge to create fuel breaks, improves ingress and egress for responding resources as well as emergency evacuations, provides access to multiple residents scattered throughout the rural areas, but also to communities, and is a popular recreation site that allows ingress and egress during emergency times, such as storms and wildfire, for recreationists. This enables the county to plan on the long term, as we've heard the pros and cons of that today, and supports firefighter training, retention, and recruitment efforts. The scale of the Labor Day fires of 2020 has brought to the forefront the importance of shared stewardship across all land ownerships, engaging with multiple partners. On January 8th, the E Board approved $5 million to ODF to bolster shared stewardship with the intent to collaborate across boundaries and ownerships to improve fire-adapted communities and restore and maintain resilient forests. Considering that E Board funding must be spent by the end of this biennium, June 2021, we were forced to limit the calls for proposals to only 10 days. In that short time frame, we received over $20 million of requests from 93 applicants. We were only able to award 37 projects, and I'd like to highlight some of the accomplishments that we plan in the next couple of months. Over 7,000 acres targeted across the state to be treated for fuel reduction, including some prescribed fire work. 500 hours of young adult training for the Northwest Youth Corps, and a project that the Northwest Youth Corps has partnered with our Santiam State Forest to triage 10 miles of hiking trails from the Labor Day fire impacts that serve, obviously, as recreational opportunities, but also access for fire resources into Santiam Forest and potentially fire control lines for future fires. I would like to quote Jeff Parker, the executive director of the Northwest Youth Corps. Oregon Department of Forestry has been an incredibly supportive partner to Northwest Youth Corps. They have provided technical expertise, logistical support, and educational enrichment to our fuels reduction crews working in priority fire risk areas. Together, we have been able to reduce fire danger in high-risk communities while building workforce skills in future resource management professionals. This is just one of many of the folks that we work with that we've gotten positive feedback about being able to fund projects across the state in the spirit of shared stewardship. I would like to highlight the potential needs across the landscape. Keep in mind that we received requests for over $20 million and funding was limited to just 37 projects. Funds went to a mix of pre-existing ODF projects, tribal, state, county, and city projects, and extended federal forest restoration efforts and support to our nonprofit organizations, such as watershed councils and forest collaboratives. The blue is requested funds within these organizations, and the orange is what we were able to allocate. As we look to the future, there is a potential to award 56 additional shelf-ready projects that went unfunded in the recent call for proposals for over $16 million. A few of the highlights from these unfunded projects could be an additional 16,000 acres of fuel reduction treatment, over 8,000 acres of fire planning, and outreach and education to well over 3,000 additional landowners. Together, along with our federal, state, local, and NGO partners, we can think and work collaboratively to increase the pace, scale, and quality of restoration on all lands. Any questions? We will have some time after this to where the panel will be available for questions for the group as well.
Questions for Jeff, Carla?
So, Peter, correct me on my math if I'm wrong, but the Governor's Wildfire Council recommended that 5.6 million acres of high-risk acres be treated, and I believe 2 million of those were NEPA approved. Over a 20-year period for roughly $4 billion, and I think we were told that 85-86% of these fires were on federal lands. And it comes back to Oregon doesn't have the capacity to cover that level of work. We will have to amass the manpower and the youth labor and everything that we can. But what's it going to take to, are we seeing those programs develop at the federal level? What's it going to take to bust through to get at a scalable level on burnable fuels treatment?
I'll kind of give a rough answer to that question. I think they did really good numbers for the scale and the time they had for that analysis. A lot of those NEPA-ready acres are prescribed fire, and there is a limit to prescribed fire until we have really, truly smoke-adapted communities because of the air sheds and the negative impacts to vulnerable communities on public health. And so there'd be a limit there. Talking to Glenn Castlemaster, the regional forester, he thinks there's over expectation in terms of what can actually be treated economically and effectively, given the remoteness, access, things like that. But still, we're not nearly anywhere we need to be with pace and scale and quality of restoration to move the needle. Part of what shared stewardship about is, and there will be winners and losers, but focusing on key priority areas and investing money to move the needle in a particular area. In terms of federal programs, they've been, as Jeff noted, the big partner driving all this with Joint Chiefs projects and really helping Oregon be successful in our collaborative approach. They fully engage with collaboratives, and it started in Eastern Oregon, where they saw the risk of wildfire much earlier than the rest of the state. The start of from the board's work, the Federal Forest Restoration started the state investment, which was the first time in the nation. Now other states are investing, and they did give us new tools such as good neighbor authority. So pieces are coming together, and there's currently legislation in this session talking about $35 to $50 million. In some ways that terrifies me. Because we don't have the workforce yet. So I think it needs to be, but that legislation also has a workforce development component to that. So I think there's real opportunity to begin to move the needle. with state. And I think if the state steps up and invests, then there will be pressure on the federal government to match that investment in particular areas. So I think there's real opportunity here, and we're, you know, the governor is really interested in an investment in wildfire. And because of the Wildfire Council, they understand the cohesive strategy where it takes investments in suppression, mitigation, and fire adapted or fire and smoke adapted communities. So I think we're real close. Jeff, do you have anything to add?
Well, I would just add that it's a dynamic opportunity as well. There's as we continue to treat fuels across the landscape, just like a rotation in for timber growth, other fuels are growing. The wildland urban interface is always expanding and contracting depending on what location. And so, you know, to think of the future investments, like Peter had mentioned, kind of scares me a little bit too. It's a small piece of the elephant that we can bite off one bite at a time. But I would always try to look to our past as well on what we've been able to complete and the strategies and relationships that we've been able to build in years past as well as we look forward.
And again, there clearly is unmet demand out there ready to go.
I have a quick question related to, there's a lot of different funding sources, it seems like, coming into some of these projects, and a lot of different partners that are implementing them. And I'm curious, you know, if there is a overarching vision or goals, you know, somewhere that drives how these projects are prioritized, and then to what extent science plays into that prioritization, and then to what extent stakeholders are brought into each of these decision-making spaces. I know they are in the collaboratives, but like, how do you get the right stakeholders, you know, engaged in those processes where there's opportunity?
So the Governor's Wildfire Council, kind of building off the shared stewardship agreement, which allows a state to jointly set priorities with the Forest Service. They did not have a lot of time, but they used the quantitative risk assessment that we collaboratively do. Our fire protection program staff works with the U.S. Forest Service, and it's a net change in expected value calculation based on a number of geographic information system layers in terms of fuel risk, condition of the forest, what values are at risk there, it's weighted, and then it classifies areas in terms of, high potential net value change or loss from wildfire. And they recommended that be used for prioritization. And that concept is being carried forward in current legislation, with ODF being responsible for refining an overall risk map. It directs mitigation to be done in the top four risk categories. Am I remembering right, Jeff?
Yes.
But the other component to that is community readiness. When you want to invest, you want to ensure that the collaborators are mature enough and ready to take on projects that size. So we have structures and processes in place. COVID has slowed us down in terms of moving on shared stewardship. But the Forest Service had one of our employees on a detail to advance that and the collaborative planning and bridge that state level prioritization with local level prioritization. And that work is ongoing. And I see Brenda has her hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. I'm just curious if the strategic allocation of these dollars for fuel reductions has been interfaced at all with the PODS approach proposed by Chris Dunn from Oregon State University.
I didn't hear well. The what approach?
Pods.
Oh, pods. Okay, thank you. Yes, there's a lot of work being done on that. And that's where you go from statewide level prioritization to more local level prioritization in the implementation of these projects based on the more detailed places of where they've caught fires in the past and the local expertise of that. Jeff, do you want to speak a little bit more about that?
Sure, you bet. And just a little bit to the planning and Brenda, thank you. I think that the pods approach is relatively new statewide. We don't have a discussion on that particularly statewide, but locally, I know that our folks have gotten together and had those conversations with local communities and the Forest Service as well. But to the point of planning, when we look at the various grant programs throughout the state that are offered through the federal, state, and private forestry grant program, we do have a forest action plan that we have developed and updated year in and year out. And that is informed also by the FPFO, and it allows us to connect with our federal partners, as well as bring in other state partners such as ODF&W, OWEB, and other nonprofits like the Nature Conservancy. So we have some framework, but I think anecdotally at least, and I haven't been in the field in a while now, but from my point of view and my experience, I know that we do go to communities where there's a spark plug, someone's interested, there's folks that are on board, they're already wanting this message. And so they're willing and you know they're ready to go with, say, a fire mitigation plan and some mitigation efforts on their land. This larger perspective is trying to take the spark plug in that community that really has a lot of energy for it, and maybe the energy from another community over here, and then the conversation with the Forest Service and a conversation with the collaborative, and bring those folks to the table and begin to get those disparate pieces on the landscape into a much larger landscape scale. And we are moving there rather quickly, actually. And I hate to say this, but smoke in the air helps us with that message. We have a lot of great feedback from landowners that perhaps we did not have their ear 10, 15 years ago. And now folks seem to be really ready to move forward, and we're going to do everything we can to put those pieces in place to do that for them.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. It just seems to me that, protection of people and property being the highest priority, I would assume, could benefit a lot from the approach that Chris and others are taking within local communities. So just wanted to raise that question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions, Jim?
I just want to do a little personal shout out relative to Grant County. On our ranch 3-4 weeks ago, we have a county road, a gravel road, little used gravel road that goes up to the ranch. And I went out one day, and to my surprise, there was an ODF crew clearing brush and trees in the right of way. I didn't realize that this was a perk of being on the Board of Forestry at the time. And it turns out it was not a perk. They were there as part of a countywide program. And I can't say, Jeff, that there was any coordination beforehand, but once I could get the guys to take the ear protection out of their ears, we could coordinate with the guys with the chainsaws. But it was great to see that happening. I thought it was fascinating that the county roadmaster said that the county was reimbursing Department of Forestry, and I think the Department of Forestry thinks that they're paying, but one way or another, it's a great program. I was particularly excited to see ODF fire crew be able to be working in the off season. So that seems like a win-win for everybody. And not only are we going to have a road that will be a better fire break, but it's in this case, a much safer road in terms of not running into the oncoming cars.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. And what's so interesting I find about that particular project is that in years past, our folks have worked very closely with Grant County to plan those projects out with individual federally funded grant programs, but never in such a collective effort. And so they've been able to build on years past work into something that is much larger now that involves the Forest Service and private property owners and the county right-of-ways as well. So really great project. Thank you for that.
Jeff, I think you're going to close out the tour stops.
You bet. Sure. If we're ready to do that.
Not seeing any other questions, so I think we are.
Okay. I'd like to highlight a few take home messages from our field tours, just to kind of capture what we've said here, and in preparation for our question and answer panel. These plans are complex to create, taking time, teamwork, and thoughtfulness. They are site specific, developed for the landscape in which they will be implemented. No one plan would meet the needs of the entire landscape. Collaboration throughout the process is required for them to be successful. ODF has very little dedicated state funding to provide incentive assistance to family forest landowners. Therefore, it is so very important to build and leverage external partnerships and provide the coordination and technical expertise that make these opportunities accessible and valuable to the non-industrial private forest community. The shared stewardship approach not only leverages various funding sources, but expertise as well. Engaging a broad spectrum of constituents to prioritize finite resources across the landscape enables critical work to be accomplished in a timely manner and a meaningful way. And Hillary, I believe you have another poll just before we go into our panel discussion.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll be launching it now.
Thank you.
And for the board members in the room, I will just quickly go through this. Relative to the forestry program for Oregon, which of these value statements resonate with you, resonate with the information you heard today? So we have from that list, global context, dynamic nature of Oregon's forests, intrinsic value of Oregon forest resources, active management, meeting current and future needs, landowners and the public sharing responsibility for sustainable forests, forests that contribute to quality of life, healthy rural Oregon, different landowners playing different roles, informed public participation, and our continuous learning. So for the board members online, feel free to submit your vote now. And then board members in the room, feel free to share your thoughts. So landowners sharing responsibility. Okay. The first one is a global context.
I'm going to abstain because, like Kyle, my eyes don't quite work well enough. And with your mask, you were a little too muffled. So
apologies.
Let's just not waste time on me. I'm just totally confused.
No, it's okay. We have to review the results anyway.
I'm going to abstain as well. I don't really quite understand what we're doing here.
I think we're just looking for the information that was presented today from our many virtual stops to see how they might connect and resonate with the value statements that are included with the Forestry Program for Oregon. And if you identify with any of those statements.
No.
Okay. Now end the polling and we'll share the results.
I will read those. The first one says, these are summaries of the value statements from the forestry program for Oregon. Global context, dynamic nature of Oregon's forest, active management. Dynamic nature of Oregon's forest, intrinsic value of Oregon's forest resources, active management, meeting current and future needs, landowner and public sharing responsibility for sustainable forest, forests that contribute to the quality of life in healthy rural Oregon.